Good morning, and welcome to Just One Thing, Simple Practices for Resilience and Happiness by Dr. Rick Hansen. This is your volunteer programmer, Barbara Felix, from the Sun Sounds of Arizona Studios. Rick Hansen, PhD, is a psychologist and New York Times best-selling author. He's been invited to speak at NASA, Oxford, Stanford, Harvard, and meditation centers worldwide. His books are available in 33 languages and include Making Great Relationships, Hardwiring Happiness, Just One Thing, and Mother Nurture. His work has been featured on the BBC, CBS, NPR, and other major media. And now, just one thing. Is it hard? The practice. Accept difficulty. Why? Sometimes things are difficult. Your legs are tired, and you still have to stay on your feet another hour at work. You love a child who's finding her independence through emotional distance from you. A long-term relationship could be losing its spark. It's finals week in college. You're trying to start a business and it's struggling. You've got a chronic health problem or a disability. Sometimes people don't appreciate your work. You're being discriminated against or otherwise treated unjustly. The body ages, sags, grows weary. Plus, there are all the little hassles of everyday life. You're in an airport and can't get Wi-Fi. You're at home looking for the ice cream and someone ate the last of it. You're talking to your partner and realize he or she isn't really paying attention. Obviously, not all difficulties are equally difficult. And to observe that life contains unavoidable difficulty is not to minimize its impacts or to suggest that we should give up trying to make life better. But people, me included, add a lot of unnecessary frustration, anxiety, and self-criticism by resisting difficulty, often with an underlying attitude of, it shouldn't be this way. Try the attitude of accepting difficulty instead of getting aggravated by it. It's a lot more peaceful. How? In the moment, start by acknowledging any stress, weariness, frustration, anxiety, or pain. Open to the impact on your body and mind of whatever is difficult. Let the experience be whatever it is. Try to step back from it and observe it. Let it flow, flowing through you. And flowing on out the door. For sure, have compassion. The simple wish that a being not suffer apply to yourself. Say to yourself things like, ow, that hurts. I wish it didn't. May I not suffer. Then step back. See if there's any resistance to things being difficult and see if you can let it go. Perhaps there's a belief deep down that life should be fulfilling, peaceful, buffered from pain. Keep softening around the inherent difficulties in living, dealing with them as best you can, but not struggling with them. Notice that when you stop resisting a difficulty, it starts feeling less difficult. As appropriate, try on the attitude. I signed up for this. Not to blame yourself for things that have happened to you or to discount your stress or weariness, but to establish yourself in a relationship of choice toward whatever is difficult. For example, stuck in traffic toward work, remind yourself that this is part of making a living. Awakened again by your baby, feel in your body yet again your choice to be a parent. Under any conditions, you could recognize again your ongoing choice to be alive. Say to yourself, this is difficult and that's okay. I accept the difficulty here. Yes, it's difficult, and so what? It's okay things are difficult. That's part of what gives them their savor. Not all fulfilling experiences are grounded in some difficulty, but many are. Honor yourself for the hard things that you're dealing with. Be aware of the things that are not difficult in your life, including the things that do support you. In particular, keep up your personal practices during difficult times, such as exercise, meditation, moments of gratitude, protein at every meal, and doing things that nurture you. The more difficult your life, the more you need to take care of yourself. Difficulties come and go. Meanwhile, your own good qualities and the good things in life persist and remain. You are listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona, bringing you Just One Thing, Simple Practices for Resilience and Happiness by Dr. Rick Hansen. What do you think about when you first wake up? The practice? Lean into good on first waking. Why? Waking up is like the sun rising. At first, it's mostly dark as glimmers of consciousness begin to light the shadows. Emerging into full wakefulness, the fog and veils dissolve, and the whole plane of your mind comes into view. It's quiet, a restiveness in the body. Sleepy still, not yet much internal verbal chatter. There's an intimacy with yourself, abiding as the core of your being. Though for some, especially those with a vulnerability toward anxiety or a history of trauma, first waking can be anxiety saturated. If this is true for you, please know that it's quite common and probably due in part to being at a physiological low ebb at this time of day and perhaps as well cortisol rising sooner than it should in its daily cycle. As soon as you can, bring awareness to the simple ongoing all-rightness of the body breathing, sustaining attention to the heart beating, no immediate threat, others nearby, if true, walls still standing, home basically all right, breathing ongoing, recognizing that the anxiety at the moment probably has little or no actual basis in reality, heart still beating, and so forth. Really opening to the sustained embodied sense of the facts of all rightness. During these first few minutes, your mind and brain are very receptive to influence. If, hypothetically, a loud alarm suddenly began clanging, you'd probably feel rattled for hours. On the other hand, if someone you love suddenly began telling you how much he or she cared about you, you'd probably feel good for hours. So, at this delicate and lovely time in the morning, why not influence your mind and brain yourself? There is a traditional saying that the mind takes its shape from whatever it rests upon, for better or worse. Instead of resting it upon planning, worrying, or stressing about your day, how about taking a little time to receive and embrace something more positive? This would set up your whole day for the better, especially if you are prone, as many are, to anxiety or the blues in the morning. Then, as your day unfolds, from time to time, you could return to the feelings and intentions you established when you first awoke, to replenish yourself in a quick pit stop on the road of life. How? This practice is really natural and simple. On first waking, rest your mind upon one or more things that are good for you. For example, you could relax into your body, feeling the truth that you are actually all right now. Or you could open to gratitude. Or bring to mind someone you care about, perhaps sleeping beside you, and soften into love. You could be aware of a deep purpose, aspiration, or guiding light. Give yourself over to this calling, letting it carry you along. This is a personally important practice for me. Another one I do is to find refuge in things that support me. For example, classic refuges are a teacher, a body of teaching, or the community of the taught. People also take refuge in mindfulness, the power of reason, practice, inner light, the fact of connection, or their sense of something divine. Take a moment to get a feeling for each refuge and let it sink in. Or consider our three fundamental needs loosely linked to the three-stage evolution. To simplify, reptile, mammal, and primate or human of the brain. Avoid harm, approach rewards, and attach to others. When we experience that these needs are met, the brain naturally defaults to its home base, its responsive mode, in which the body refuels and repairs itself. The mind dwells in a basic sense of peace and happiness and love in terms of our needs to avoid, approach, and attach. Since neurons that fire together wire together, time spent in the responsive mode gradually strengthens its neural substrates, like deepening the keel of a boat so that you can sail through life without its winds knocking you over. And what better time when the mind-brain is like a sponge during the first minutes after waking. So I'll often try to find a sense of peace, relaxed, safe, not at war with anything or anyone. Happiness, there is enough, fortunate, contented, and love, feeling cared about, compassionate, and kind. And once found, let those sink in. These early moments are precious, open with possibility, graced by stillness and sacred. They are a gift. May we receive them. You're listening to Just One Thing, Simple Practices for Resilient Happiness by Dr. Rick Hansen, brought to you by Sun Sounds of Arizona. And here's one more. Could it crack? The practice. Embrace fragility. Why? The truth of anything is like a mosaic with many tiles, many parts. One part of the truth of things is that they are robust and enduring, whether it's El Capitan in Yosemite or the love of a child for her mother and father. Another part of the truth is that things bruise, tear, erode, disperse, or end. Fundamentally, they're fragile. Speaking of El Capitan, I knew of someone climbing it who had just placed anchors above a long horizontal crack when the sheet of granite he was standing on broke off to fall like a 1,000-ton pancake to the valley floor below. He lived clutching his anchors. Love and other feelings often change in a family. Bodies get ill, age, and die. Milk spills, glasses break, people mistreat you, good feelings fade. One's sense of calm or worth is easily disturbed. Wars start and then end badly. Planets heat up and hurricanes flood cities. Earthquakes cause tidal waves and damage nuclear reactors. Life is like a house of cards, and a single gust, a layoff from work, an injury, a misjudgment, a bit of bad luck can knock it over. Taking a longer view, several billion years from now, our sun will swell into a red giant star that consumes Mercury, Venus, and Earth. The Grand Canyon, Pacific Ocean, and all the works of humankind will come to an end, utterly fragile. Sometimes we overestimate the fragility of things, as when we don't recognize the deep wells of inner strength in ourselves and others. But I think we are more likely to deny or downplay the true extent of fragility. It's scary to realize how delicate and vulnerable your body is, or the threads that bind you to others. So easily frayed by a single word, or the balance of climate and ecology on our planet. It's scary and humbling, neither of which people like to face the underlying frailty of the body, how easy it is for a relationship to go awry. The ways that so many of us are overextended and running on fumes. The rickety underpinnings of the global financial system. The deep fissures within many nations, or the unpredictability and intensity of Mother Nature. But if we don't recognize fragility, we'll miss chances to protect and nurture so many things that matter, and we'll be needlessly surprised and upset when things do inevitably fall apart. We need to embrace fragility, to see it clearly and take it into our arms, to be grounded in truth, peaceful amidst life's changes and endings, and resourceful in our stewardship of the things that we care about. How? Simply be mindful of fragility, both actual and potential. Notice how many things do break, broadly defined, and notice how many more there are that could break and eventually will. Things such as physical objects, for example, a cup, a blouse, a body, a species, an ecosystem, Earth's crust. Relationships, projects, agreements, states of mind, lives, and society. Notice any discomfort with recognizing fragility. Be aware of the other tiles in the mosaic, such as stability, resilience, and repair, that can help you push through this discomfort. Appreciate that this is the fragility of things that often makes them the most precious. See the fragility of others and their pains and losses related to all the things that have broken or could break for them. See the delicacy of their feelings, sensitivities, and vulnerabilities in their sense of worth or well-being. Let this knowing about others, both people you're close to and those you're not, even people who are difficult for you, open your heart to them. Knowing the fragility of others will naturally lead you away from being harsh or unkind to them. See the brevity and flimsiness of your own life and the fragility of your hopes and dreams. Why wait another day to do all that you reasonably can to fulfill them? Consider where you are unnecessarily fragile. Perhaps too picky about criticism, too vulnerable to a slumping mood, too prone to illness, too indebted, too isolated at work or in life altogether, or too under-resourced in any significant area. And make a realistic plan for shoring these up. For example, I've been getting run down and have realized I really need to make sleep a higher priority. Do what's in your heart about what's fragile in our world, whether it's an ailing elderly person next door or a disaster victim across an ocean. Ultimately, try to come to peace with the inevitable. All things fall apart one way or another. Everything cracks. And yet, there is something so beautiful about this part of the truth. As Leonard Cohen says much more eloquently than I can, Ring the bells that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There is a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. That's how the light gets in. You've been listening to Just One Thing, Simple Practices for Resilience and Happiness, brought to you by Rick Sunsounds of Arizona. This is your volunteer programmer, Barbara Felix, thanking you so much for listening today, and I hope that you have a wonderful rest of your day. And now, stay tuned for more interesting programming coming up next from Sunsounds of Arizona.